Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now Nathaniel Johnson. Some of you know him from pieces he's done for This American Life. He grew up with hippie parents in the commune and spiritual retreat district of Northern California, which seems to have put him on a path to try to reconcile technology with natural living. His new book is called All Natural, A Skeptic's Quest to Discover if the Natural Approach to Diet, Childbirth, Healing, and the Environment really keep us healthier and happier. And somehow that whole title does actually fit on the cover of the book.
It's also a quest to have the world's longest title.
And I think you've succeeded. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much. It's a real pleasure.
So the book opens with your parents breaking down and getting their first computer when you were a kid in 1986, which you could only use after you played outside on any given day for 3 hours, even if it was raining and cold. Why'd you start there?
Well, it was just the first moment that I could remember really trying to reconcile these two things. You know, I was outside with my little brother in the sleet, sitting with our backs up against the back door, you know, covered by this dirty blanket, and every once in a while he'd pull out the clock and say, "Oh, we've been out here for 5 whole minutes." And I was thinking, gosh, you know, wouldn't it be healthier if we were inside in front of that warmly glowing computer just playing computer games? And so that's sort of what I'm doing throughout the entire book is, you know, lovingly making fun of my family and myself, and then going back to really dig into the science on these things.
And so you look at food, you look at milk, you look at medical technology. One of the interesting stories to me in your book is about some kids who got sick from E. coli. And the initial assumption was that it came from drinking raw milk, that is unpasteurized milk. Can you tell us about that incident?
Yeah, so this is something that happened. I was interested in writing about milk, and just as I started doing this research, this outbreak happened, and so I really kind of started doing detective work and double checked all of the public health stuff, and I found all these very strange things where, you know, one kid would drink the entire carton of milk, and another kid would just drink a little bit, and that was the kid that would get sick. And there are these examples happening over and over again. And so as I tracked it down and did all this, you know, microbial lab work, checking all these results, what I eventually began to see is that what we're dealing with here, it's not just one bug that's going to get you if you're exposed to it and poison you. What we're dealing with is two ecosystems, this entire ecosystem in the milk and then the ecosystem in the individual's gut, in our own bodies. And it's the way that those two come together that really determines whether you get sick or not, or whether it makes you healthier.
So parallel to that, you describe the paradox of how pasteurization does kill harmful bacteria in milk, but also allows farmers to be dirtier than they had been in the past.
Yeah, exactly. There was a real premium on keeping the ecosystem on the farm very pristine before pasteurization, and now that premium has really changed, and it's okay to have. I think the limit now is 100,000 fecal coliform forming units of bacteria in any sample of milk, because then you just pasteurize it and wipe them all out.
Well, do you care how dirty they are if the pasteurization works? I mean, cleanliness standards are about safety, not something more inherent, aren't they?
Exactly. I mean, so over and over again, I would keep coming back to this issue. You know, do you care? On what level do you care? If you care just on the level of, is there any bacteria in my milk? Then, you know, there is no reason to care. It's, you wipe out the bacteria, that's fine. But if you care on sort of the bigger health reason, like what does this mean for health in general? The fact that we have these farms that have these giant manure lagoons that, you know, the manure gets in other places. It gets on our produce sometimes, and we're seeing E. coli outbreaks over there. If you look at the big picture, there are some real negative health consequences.
And remind us of the context here. Why are we even talking about pasteurization of milk, which is like a completely settled issue in American society?
Right. Well, I think because there are still these subcultures that question these things. And, you know, the society that I grew up in, you know, my hometown and my parents really felt like it was bad to protect yourself against nature with technology. You know, things like pasteurization were really suspect. And so they questioned all of these things. And there are some real questions. I mean, there's sort of a usual easy dismissal of, you know, those dirty hippies out there, or just on the other side, just a credulous embrace of everything that's natural. And when I really started digging into this stuff, there's some fascinating complexity below that the divide.
Another story from the book that gets at this point about your mother diagnosed with hepatitis and osteopenia, rejecting the modern medicine prescriptions of her doctor, correctly you say, but then heading toward an equally unscientific remedy called earthing that mostly involves going barefoot. Both ends of that story are fascinating. Can you tell some of them?
Yeah. So, you know, my mom is a very healthy person. She goes into the doctor one day and is told that she has these horrible things and, you know, that she needs to go on this anti-viral medication for hepatitis, which is really pretty gnarly treatment, and that she needs to go on medication for her incipient osteoporosis. She does all of her research and decides that that's not what she should do. And in fact, the evidence-based medical doctors, if they were really doing their stuff, they would have told her the same thing. But then there's the tendency to go to the other extreme, and, you know, she has this, like, silver shot bed sheet that she plugs into the grounding outlet of a electrical plug, and the idea is that it conducts negative electrons out of her and, you know, grounds her to the earth. When I looked at the science behind this, it was just really shoddy, and, you know, it sort of sounds like a crazy thing as well. But there is this sort of metaphor of being reconnected to the earth, and it seemed, you know, makes her feel better. And so my conclusion was that, you know, maybe there is some, that she's being healed by the metaphor rather than any kind of actual mechanistic benefit.
So you have all kinds of stories like the two that we've looked at so far in the book about pasteurization and your mother's and mainstream medicine's approach to healing. You've developed, I guess, through your personal experience and then your study, an extraordinarily good eye for bias in both the technological and all-natural approaches to things. And you've become, in effect, a lay scientist looking for the evidence and the dogma in each camp. So what do you hope your book to accomplish for others in this respect?
Well, I hope that when people read it, they, whatever their own bias, because I'm sort of on the open, exposing my own bias and kind of working through my own story, that they'll be a little bit more open to seeing these seeing their own assumptions, and that they'll be a little bit more open to learning these tools for evaluating evidence that I'm trying to use, rather than simply going to one guru and saying, "Oh, this guy has it right," or to another belief system and believing everything that they would have those people believe.
And one consequence of this polarization that I find really interesting, you said that the breakdown in communication between people who favor nature and those who favor technology is one reason for our environmental paralysis. What's the connection?
Well, when we talk about the environment, it's so easy to get emotional and to ask for a hard line. The conversation turns very quickly into one that's not about practically solving problems on the ground, but an ideological struggle. And I think that if we went about these problems, started trying to solve these problems just in our own neighborhoods, from a very pragmatic point of view, where we're just grappling with the evidence and how can we make things a little bit better, that we'd be improving our neighborhoods and improving the health of the entire global ecosystem in a much more effective way than having these giant ideological battles about whether it's okay to increase the carbon content by 1 point.
So we're almost out of time, but have your parents read your book? How are they dealing with being portrayed as, you know, the back to the land hippie caricatures?
They have read the book, and they, you know, I think.
And I don't want to say characters, really, because you're very loving to them, but they certainly come across as, you know, a type from a time.
Right, exactly. You know, my parents have mellowed out as they've gotten older. I think my dad definitely, he wanted to argue with me about the science on a couple of things. I feel like I won those arguments. My mom, you know, she loves the book. She's very, she wants everybody to love her as well. And so she's very tender about how she's portrayed. And so we had a couple heart-to-hearts over that, but mostly it's just been these fascinating discussions around the dinner table.
And the medical industry and the high-tech industry, they're probably not taking it as well when you skewer bad medical science and stuff like that.
Well, I think when it comes to medicine and you know, high-tech medical devices, even the industry, everybody realizes when you talk to the wonks, when you talk to the people at big pharmaceutical companies, they know that the system that we have is unsustainable and really crazy. The trick is that our whole orientation is to creating yet another device or creating yet another pharmaceutical, and no one's figured out how to make all-important money off of the real solution, which would be figuring out how to address the environmental and the social determinants of health.
Nathaniel Johnson, his new book is called All Natural, A Skeptic's Quest to Discover If the Natural Approach to Diet, Childbirth, Healing, and the Environment Really Keeps Us Healthier and Happier. Thank you very much for your thoughtful approach and for coming on with us.
Thank you so much.